This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
We got to come up with something new.
We do.
We will. Don't worry about it. We'll work on it for next year.
Yep. We've got a whole year for the next Oshkosh.
And joining us now is Mr. Carl Suttle. Did I say that right?
You did.
I like to ask that question because then I don't feel so stupid if I messed it up.
Oh, no biggie. We mess up a lot of things, you know.
He's got some really cool flight simulators.
I saw the pictures.
Well, I saw the thing over in the building the other day, and I wanted to really sit and play with it because the one had a full five-screen monitors, and I think they said it's
six.
Like six? Seven. 220 degrees of peripheral vision or something like that?
210 by 70.
Wow.
Wow, that's terrific.
And it was cool because I'm like, oh, my God, I can look over there and see the wing. I'm like, wow. It's got to be – and when you're sitting in the seat, I wasn't in the seat. It's got to be very immersive.
I was going to say, if you roll it, you'll get airsick.
No kidding.
You get all the motion cues that you want from the visual. Like 85% of your motion cues come through your eyes. So you feel like you're rotating, that's for sure.
Wow.
That's great.
You know what I want to know? You remember, I'm going to date myself here. The original Microsoft Flight Simulator, one of the things you could do was modify the airplane. And we used to take the 172 and we would cut its gross weight in half, and then we would put a 700 horsepower engine on the front of it and it would go straight up. Now, can we do that with your simulator?
Try and discourage that for some certain reason, beginning with F, ending in A.
Oh, okay. Now, that brings up a question right there. These are FAA certified. I guess that's not the right term.
They're approved. Yeah.
So you can log time as simulator time?
You can log time towards your private instrument and instrument currency. So you can maintain your instrument currency in your own home. And that's what a lot of our customers do.
Okay. Wow.
Well, that's great because there's a lot of time, like last winter when we were all snowed in, if we had had one of these simulators, we could have been banging around some clear skies.
Sure, if you live in the Northeast and there's ice everywhere, you can't maintain currency. If you live in California, where, of course, I come from, it's never IFR. It's always blue sunshine and orange
juice. Stop rubbing it in.
Yeah, really.
We're from the Northeast.
I know.
We saw enough ice last year. I don't ever want to see it again.
You know, that's something I would have never thought about, though. You don't get IFR weather in California and Arizona and Utah and all that.
And when you do, you don't want to be up in it.
Right, right. It's nasty IFR.
Nasty.
It's vengeful.
It's what they call hardball.
Okay, now, I mean, you got a lot of hardware sitting there. This is a fully built system, or is this something I can add on to my PC?
No.
We used to
sell software, and we sold like 6,000 licenses. But there still aren't enough sim enthusiasts to keep a full-time company going. So we moved into the FAA-approved area. But we are really a software company. Our hardware is generally off the shelf, but we have engineers, simulation engineers, who know how to put these things together properly. So, for instance, that visual beats the FAA level D specifications, the highest level of simulator you can have approved. In many areas, it's brighter, it has more resolution, it's wider and it's deeper. And the reason we came out with this is we want to do skills training in the simulator. So those simulators that have small windows where you can't see the runway when you're above it are really obsoleted. To do skills training, you need to see peripheral vision down low at the same angle as the aircraft. So I have a Cirrus, so guess what the down angle is?
I don't even know.
Same as a Cirrus.
Oh, well, that was a good answer.
Yeah, which is pretty deep.
Yeah. So your target market is more like flight schools, airlines, anybody's got proficiency in mind? And
constantly surprised. You know, we came out with a $2,400 flight simulator, didn't sell very well. We came out with a $4,900 simulator, sold better. $7,400 simulator, now we're accelerating, all going into people's homes.
Oh my.
$11,400 simulator, oh, nobody's going to buy that, that's just for flight schools. Wrong again.
You're kidding.
I am
really?
Not. 60 or 70% of them going to people's dens. And I think the thing is that they're becoming fun. So it's not only, you know, I can maintain my currency. I'm a busy guy. I have a Cirrus. I paid $900,000. I have a Meridian. I paid whatever. I don't have to go to the airport. I can go in my little den and I can fly. And then I can get my buddies in and we can do landing competitions. So the gaming, the learning, the fun, as well as the seriousness is there. And, you know, if we want to make flight simulators popular, they can't be the box in the corner. They have to be fun. And as you guys have said, some of the scenes are just outstanding.
Now, is the simulator, does it come with an array of aircraft that it simulates? So it's like select Cub, select, you know, Learjet, whatever you feel like doing that day.
We specialize in GA. So we started with a Cirrus. And, you know, 10 years ago, lots of people were not having a good time with Cirrus. That's why we started the business. I've been building simulators for 35 years, except, of course, when I left aviation to make a bit of money. And,
yeah.
And then came back to lose it again.
Right, right.
That's aviation, all right.
That's how it works.
So we decided to do the right thing and build a Cirrus simulator and Cirrus, actually sell it. And moved on from there to, you know, Cessna and all these small GA aircraft. But the real problem is that for our low-cost simulators and G1000 and G600 and Avidyne MFDs and complex GPSs didn't really exist. Your simulator had to cost you $70,000 or $80,000 because that's what you would pay for the LRUs, the line replaceable units, the PFDs and the MFDs.
Right.
So being software engineers, we reverse engineered. The whole thing. Can't be done for that in California.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you've got the visuals, you've got the panoramic screen. Are you thinking of adding motion?
No.
Ooh.
So, this may upset some people. There hasn't been a paper in the last 30 years that says motion's good for anything except two things. Make the pilot feel important and help the pilot to fly the simulator. Transferring those flying skills to the aircraft doesn't exist. So you're left with making the pilot feel important. Well, that's a valid thing to do for sales. But if you want to give a person good motion cues, concentrate on the visual because that's where all your cues are coming from. Many papers have shown that a simple nudge or vibration is just as good as a motion system. And you certainly can't make a good motion system like an FAA system, you know, for less than a couple of $1 million. So, you know, the job of a motion system is to move with the acceleration, velocity to a position that the computer tells it to move to. You've got to have good hardware to do that. So no, we'll concentrate on low-cost flight simulators and have a range so people can keep them in their homes and flight schools.
Okay, now there's another piece of hardware that's starting to come onto the scene called the Oculus Rift.
Uh-huh.
You guys experimenting with that, playing with that? I'm sure somebody bought one because it was just too cool not to.
Well, in a past life, we dealt with helmet-mounted displays. The military have been trying to do helmet-mounted displays forever. And the trouble is they make you sick. So
They're too immersive or something.
Well, the delays between the head movement sensors and your brain are too much, and you're sick. And also, how do you see the instruments? How do you know what to reach for? How do you know what to touch for? So now you have to have some mixing between the outside world and the inside world. These problems aren't new. These problems are, as long as you've been able to put a TV tube in front of your eye, these problems have existed. So maybe somebody will come up with some great technology. Maybe they won't.
Right, not yet.
Not yet.
All right. Yeah. I want to know where the coin slot's hidden.
Yeah, no, it's a card
right
slot.
Right here,
no.
Right here.
Yeah, yeah, right in his wallet he's showing it.
Well, you know, the one part that I really liked is you said contest.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you can get your buddies all over and on a, you know, miserable day, and you can sit there and crack wise and see who is the better pilot without having to spend all of that money on fuel.
And risking the airplane.
Plus the fact that there's a reset button.
See, I might just challenge you then.
Well, we have a great one that we run at shows sometimes. End of the runway. It's brakes off to landing on a runway, full stop, to 1,000 feet. No rules. So take off, climb through 1,000 feet, get it back down on the runway, no rules. And just watch what people invent. Some people are, I'm going to climb at VY, turn around in a rate, one turn, come back downwind, land nicely, thank you, 3 minutes. Then there are people with, you know, maximum speed, 10 feet, storm climb, stalling out at 1,000, just going above 1,001 feet, spin it down, crank it over, pull too much G, dump it on the ground, and the undercarriage doesn't break and they win. And they're not on the same runway, and they're downwind. So it requires good inventiveness. And I think there's some airmanship in that, you know, because you have to think.
Well, I will admit that one of the favorite things I used to like to do with the flight simulator was take an F-15, take off, climb to 20,000 feet, cut the engine, dive all the way down and try and fly underneath one of the bridges in Philadelphia and then try and land.
My favorite was taking off at McCarran International with an FA-18 and then fly about 300 feet right down the strip in Vegas. And you've got to watch out for circus, because if you're going faster than 400 knots, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. Well, in the old days, of course, before computers did the visual system and we had cameras flying over models, we used to put spiders there, little signs saying, "This way, dummy," for the air crew to find their airfield.
What? Wow. Never thought about that.
You could have had a lot of fun with that system.
We
that's
did.
For sure.
It sounds like they did. So back then you were doing flight simulators for whom?
Oh, the Air Force.
I was going to say.
In the Royal Air Force.
Ah, the Royal Air Force.
On Phantoms. F4s, old boy.
I didn't know you had those.
We did. They used to go wrong every couple of hours. I mean, normal flight time, 3.5 hours. Mean time between failures of the radar, 1.8 hours.
Nice.
Jeez.
Those were the days.
Those were the good old days.
Yep, that, you're romanticizing all about that. Meanwhile, the grunt who's having to fix this stuff is cussing a blue streak.
You know, the guy that says, "Do I really want to get back in this airplane after the last failure?"
Well, that's half the fun of the simulator is that you can simulate all kinds of problems, and you're on the ground, so you can learn how to handle difficult situations without risking
pilot or plane. That's
actually
an interesting question. Do you guys have scenarios programmed in?
Yes, we do. We have simple straight and level programs and more complex instrument landing programs. Then we have the air traffic controller who's telling you to do this, and then the virtual instructor who's telling you to do that, and a volume control to turn it all down.
And just fly the airplane.
Just fly this sim.
Where can we find you?
You can find us in Hangar C right at the end, I think 3006. Look for the big crowd.
Yeah, no kidding.
Really?
No kidding. I'd like to get some time in that simulator, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
No, we don't want to crash the simulator.
Yeah, we
can
do that.
It's bad karma. Crash the sim, you can crash the airplane.
That's true. But remember they used to say you can't break a computer? They were wrong.
Wrong. That's for sure.
All right, Carl, I want to thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Thanks a lot, guys.
And head on over to Fly the Sim.
We'll see
in
you over
C.
there.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.